Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, that northern.
Northern. Really northern.
Literally. Honestly.
Honestly.
Potentially. Categorically. I can't think of any other words. Personality.
The Curse of Suburbia, Gareth, is the leaf blower. Alan Titchmarsh has spoken quite voraciously about his disdain for leaf blowers. He says, why don't people just use...
Don't get him on the subject. If ever you meet him, you'll just never get off it.
Gareth, you will not shut him up about leaf blowers. He will not...
Get down off your soapbox, Alan.
You've got to let this go. Yeah. Maybe at one point I might have laughed at that. Today, I'm laughing less because one of the neighbours... is being blown.
You're in the trenches at the moment, aren't you?
I'm in the trenches with it.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it starts and then it stops I find most troubling.
Listen, if you can't get blown in Bromley, where can you get blown?
Absolutely. Now, Gareth, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you very much for joining me, because I know you are so busy. You are, of course, the creator of the social media sensation Hunsnet.
Yes.
Celebrating Hun culture.
Yes.
I have loved your work since it began, but for those people who aren't initiated with what a Hun is, and therefore Hunsnet, how would you describe?
So you want the elevator pitch?
Well,
or lift?
I mean,
we don't discriminate.
The lift pitch, I think, isn't it?
So Hun culture is like... it's a celebration mostly of fabulous women. We're talking Jane McDonald's, your Natalie Cassidy's, your Marty McCutcheon's.
Yes, please. All the greats. Ruth Langsford.
Ruth Langsford.
Yes.
She's out there on her own, though. She's on a, you know.
Oh, she's beyond.
She is beyond. She's beyond help. No, she's gorgeous. So it's a celebration of fabulous celebrities, nostalgia from the noughties, things that make you feel... a bit like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, camp, kitsch.
Yeah.
You know, Lynx Africa.
Lynx Africa.
We spoke about that.
We were speaking about that just a moment ago.
Yeah.
The delicious smell of my youth.
Yeah.
Which was, well, I don't know what was in it, but...
well, it was African things, wasn't it?
Yes, I suppose it was in a way, wasn't
it? Yeah. Going to school smelling of a wildebeest. Have a whiff on that.
And it was very much, I just remember it in PE, that all the boys would be using that. Or Dupe was the one you said.
Yeah, after you've had a fag in the woods. Cigarette in the woods.
Or American business. Oh, absolutely. But that nostalgia, I think, is what's really made it hit such a rich seam of... I mean, people absolutely love it, like that whole Hun's world, Hunsnet, Hun's world.
It's like it's like that knowing look to your friend. It's the nudge, it's Prosecco. And I know that all these things are quite random when you think of them, but people who know what I'm talking about, they will know what I'm talking
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. And I mean, I always describe it as being the world of loose women.
It's like if you cross loose women with, like, Salt Park, if you built out their world, do you know what I mean? It's like...
yes.
It's like, yeah, what would Ruth Langsford do?
What would Ruth Langsford do?
Yeah.
Or what would someone like... it's often like... I wouldn't say women from Manchester is how I often imagine.
Oh, that northern.
Northern. Really northern.
Literally. Honestly.
Honestly.
Potentially. Categorically. I can't think of any other words. Personality.
Every time it's an E, it's always an air. And you write it as that. But I always think it's like someone going to like the office Christmas party and deciding what to wear.
Yeah.
Which does seem to have its own uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, and there's music that goes with it as well. So it's like hen party music, I call it.
Yes. You know, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, let's go, girls.
Go on. And that Boots advert as well.
Here come the girls.
Here come the girls. That feels very Hans culture.
It's very like desk to dance floor fashion as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you remember like back in the day in like the noughties when the girls would go, like, it's very Girls Aloud Biology.
Yes.
You know, like the skirts.
Was that the sort of asymmetric top I was suddenly thinking of, kind of strappy top with a sort of asymmetric
strappy top, yeah, nice big chunky belt, you know, nude heels,
nude heel, very sort of bay trading,
yeah, very bay trading,
maybe a bit of River. What happened to River Island? Is that
River
still
Island? Right, I'm sorry, like brand deals for River Island are off because
because
River Island has been selling the same shit for 30 years.
People must like it, Gareth.
How are they still trading it? It's a Ponzi scheme. River Island is a Ponzi scheme.
But all that nostalgia about going to those shops in French Connection UK, which we took for granted back then, I think.
Well, it was so funny coming to Bromley. I think the Glade Shopping Centre, that is
very Hun. That is very Hun. Hun-centric, yeah. But I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why it is.
Did they ever, and I'm just asking you as the Bromley historian here, did they ever have like a fish spa in Glades? You know what I'm talking about, where you put, you dangle your feet, your little leggies in the fish tank.
Do you remember that? And I was once booked to go to one and I couldn't do it because I found it so
awful.
What,
it's like an appearance? Tom Allen,
today's fish, yeah, what were they called, a fish spa?
Fish spa, yeah.
And I never liked the idea of it. And then a little while after that, they were discredited as being a little bit disgusting.
But they're still massive on the continent.
Oh, are they? Yeah. That's where they swam across.
There's
little fishies.
Stop the fish.
That's what they said. I think Bromley would have had that in the Mall. So there was, before the Glades, there was the Bromley Mall.
What?
Yes, which I hope it's still there. People from Bromley will remember it. It was a sort of it was a precinct more than a shopping centre. Do you know what I mean? Before it all became indoors, it was alfresco.
Yeah,
it was alfresco shopping.
I know. And they'd have shutters on the front, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd have shutters on the front. Yeah, yeah. They'd have a shop where you could maybe rent a sofa, that sort of thing.
Yeah, rent, like
radio rentals.
Radio rentals.
There'd be a cafe in there, and something like an Index. Which would that be a nationwide thing? That was like a rival to Argos.
It was, and they used to have a catalogue as well. Catalogue culture, that is Hun.
Oh, my mum used to get the Freeman's catalogue. Did your mum get that?
Grattan.
Is Bowden, is that part of that world? Or is that kind of, maybe that's slightly more modern?
Sounds a bit posher, but I'm sort of Grattan Kays, that was a big one.
Kays catalogue. And I remember my mum having the Freeman's catalogue. And it was sort of this strange kind of world where you'd buy things, but I don't know. Mum would be like, well, I'll get it on Freeman's catalogue. And I was like, but I thought you said we couldn't afford to buy this.
It's £2.36 a week.
It would be like, well, it's on my catalogue, so it doesn't matter. It'd be like a world where you didn't have to worry about.
What has catalogue, the whole catalogue thing has become TikTok shop, hasn't it?
And Klarna.
Klarna.
Pay for it with Klarna.
Klarna, yeah.
We're not sponsored. I don't really understand it.
No, I'm not a Klarna person. I'm like, just get it paid for. If you can't afford it,
I think it's a danger, isn't it?
It is.
Like,
it's a Ponzi scheme.
It's a Ponzi scheme, which I know it's a big bugbear for you. But that idea of, I think, very like pre-financial crash.
Yeah.
Very much like, just pop it on a card, it doesn't matter.
It's very sort of provvy loan, isn't it?
What's provvy loan?
Come on, you must know what a provvy loan is.
What's a provvy loan?
So it's like, they were like, I think this was probably the like 90s version of Klarna, where there was a lady who went round. So you had the Avon lady, you had the Betterware lady, and then you had the provvy woman.
Oh, the provvy woman.
And she used to go round and like, she'd like lend you your money until you needed it. Until your wages.
Would she send around the heavies if you couldn't pay? That would be my fear of the provvy lady.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Yeah, it's like racketeering.
Racketeering back then. It was called something different.
Oh, and please tell me that somebody knows what the provvy lady is.
I feel like I do. I know it. I was also thinking, as you said it, because my mum used to do Pippa D parties at one point.
This is clothing, isn't it?
This is clothing, where you'd go, you basically encourage people to have a party where you'd go around with a rail of clothing, and my mum would have to stand up in the middle of a party and then just demonstrate a load of dresses.
Yeah, but if we're talking about Pippa D, we've got to talk about Anne Summer's parties.
Well, then, of course, it lurches. I mean, The Pippa D parties were like what was keeping us in our house at one point. Yeah. So mum was like very stressed about the Pippa. Pippa D was quite stressful. Like, it sounds so kind of upbeat, but it's like,
we'll just get the girls round for a party.
Just get the girls round. Do you know anybody who knows anybody who could have a Pippa D party?
And then they're chasing them for the next 26 weeks for the money.
Do you want? Yeah, that's another way. Yeah, it was like, I just wonder if you got the money for that holiday dress.
Excuse me, Jill. just popping around to Jill in number 42 about the Pippa D order.
I have got it, yeah. But we haven't received the full payment.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. But Anne Summers as well. And Anne Summers were based, I think they still are actually, on a roundabout between here and Gatwick Airport.
Really? Mm. That makes sense, actually. Mm. Mucky.
Mucky. Very suburban like that, isn't it?
No, Anne Summers, I remember my mum having an Anne Summers party, and all I could remember, I was upstairs. It was like, you've got to go upstairs. We had the Nintendo. I think we were given pizza, but we were not, under any circumstances, allowed to come downstairs. And obviously, like, you listen round the corner and you can hear, like, loads of, like, middle-aged women, like, putting vibrators on their noses because they say if you put the vibrator on your nose, allegedly it's supposed to mimic the simulation of what goes on when you put the vibrator on other parts of your body, which...
My goodness.
You know.
Well, the nasal cavity is a very sensitive area, I suppose.
It's very sensitive.
Very sensitive. And they do say a sneeze is a seventh of an orgasm.
Yeah, well, exactly.
How long do you have to leave it on there? Gosh. Yeah. And so, so your mum was selling the Anne Summers product.
Yeah, she wasn't like doing Prozian or anything like that.
No judgment. Go ahead. But so she was there getting people around to buy it. And did she sell a lot of them?
Well, I didn't look at the sales sheets and the
Why
metrics.
Do I always bring it back down to the accounts?
But I just remember things like, you could imagine, because there was the lingerie section as well,
wasn't
there? Yes,
because they opened it at Anne Summers in Bromley. People were outraged.
And then,
it's muck, next to a paper
it's mucky.
Chase.
It's mucky. Yeah. Don't bring that muckiness to the Glades.
Right next to Littlewoods. I say no more.
And Summers is still here. Where's Littlewoods?
That's a good... There you go. Yeah,
indeed,
that's true.
Yes.
And so they would do the lingerie.
They would do the lingerie. But you can imagine, like, we've got Jill from number 46, who you only see in the mornings. Oh, yeah, Jill. And she's down there, you know, in stockings and sissies. Aunt Bill would love this.
We wait till I get this on.
I don't know why there's always a shimmy son.
I think it's the sort of thing that we were allowed to see maybe in Coronation Street.
Hey.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That would be like enough of a sensation of like what might be going on. Always I feel like a netted kind of dressing gown with a sort of fur.
Like Marabou.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, like Tanya Turner from Football's Wife. She had like a Marabou dressing gown, didn't she?
What a good reference. And do you remember Hotel Babylon as well?
Yes.
That feels like that was very much part of that world of like...
Yeah, because didn't they do like... I remember, I don't read many books, but I remember that Hotel Babylon, they had like loads of different Babylons. They had Fashion Babylon, didn't they, as well?
Oh, is it?
Yes,
a whole...
It was a series, hun.
It was a series, but they never made those into TV shows.
Fashion Babylon on TV would be much better, wouldn't it?
That's a show I'd like to watch.
Exactly. In a negligee.
I would pop on my negligee. Always popping on a negligee.
slipping into something. Popping on.
My teddy. Are that what they're called, teddies? Those kind of like all in one.
Oh, like a romper? No, onesie?
Like a sort of...
Are we in Anne Summers' world?
Yeah, in Anne Summers' world. Okay. Isn't that a teddy when it's like a corset with the pants attached?
Like a bodice.
Or maybe something with poppers in there.
Yeah.
The gusset.
For when you're at the club.
When you're at the club and you haven't got time, take everything off. Just pop a popper and you're ready to go. The club, I feel like as well, we were sold this version of nightclubbing when we were young.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're younger than me anyway, aren't you?
How old are you?
42.
I'm 43.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Similar era that the idea of a nightclub was impossibly glamorous.
Oh, my God.
Like a local... There was one here called Bieber's and then another one opened called Delano's. And somebody told me a story about how they went to a nightclub and there was a hot tub in the middle of it and they went into...
This used to be Metropolis in Bethnal Green. There's a hot tub at the top on the top floor, it used to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean... Very recently. This wasn't years ago. This was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Pre-COVID.
I was going to say, it's probably where it started.
Yeah, exactly. Patient zero, Bethnal Green.
Bethnal Green rooftop. But do you remember the way that nightclubs were seen with these like often like green and red lights? Sometimes you'd see a similar thing if you went on holiday to Spain.
Liquid Envy sort of thing.
Oh, Liquid Envy. What was that?
That was the nightclub brand. And then Envy was the green and Liquid was the red.
And people would be like, wow, it's all happening in there. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
As a teenager, I was like, it looks incredible. What happens there?
The big bright lights.
The bright lights of, like, what was it, Infernos?
Infernos and Clapham. That's still going.
Is it?
Yeah.
The venue in New Cross?
Not like sure bright, whether that's
bright
still
lights,
there.
Big buildings. Like, what? How does it all work when you get in there?
Yeah, and they always used to be like random celebrity appearances, because one of my favourite things of Hun culture is that Steve McFadden, a.k.a. Phil Mitchell...
Well...
not to be confused with us.
Literally, as we started this... Yes.
Phil and Grant.
It's like Phil and Grant.
We're more like Peggy and Pat, really, aren't we?
Especially in your leopard print.
Exactly.
We could be like a really camp Phil and...
We got the Grant. Looks of Phil and Grant, but the personalities of Peggy and Pat.
What a strange...
What a paradox.
What a strange furnace we'd been melted down in. Yes, to come up with that, yes.
So Steve McFadden of EastEnders fame in around 2014 went on a nightclub tour. Because do you remember, like,
PA.
Like a PA. Like, imagine, like, it's a Friday night, you're in Inferno's Clapham, and Phil Mitchell just comes on on the stage. Come on, Clapham, let's have it. Iconic. We need more of that.
That was a simpler time, wasn't it? People were smoking indoors, and the death just absolutely delighted to see Steve McFadden?
Yeah, Phil Mitchell, yeah.
Steve McFadden and Equity. And that was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Like, the Big Brother contestants now are not doing tours of the nightclub. Back in the day, Aisling was worked like a dog around those clubs.
As soon as they came out, they were given a Rolls Royce and they were whisked off to the nearest...
to the bright lights of Liquid Envy, Reading.
Yeah, it was always somewhere like Reading.
Yeah, Bagshot.
Places that probably don't have any nightlife to speak of now. I don't know, Bagshot. I'm sorry if that's offensive to you. But back then...
Yeah.
Oh, and I remember in Bromley. Oh, look at the sun. Sun always shines on the righteous, Karen. The pubs of Bromley North were impossibly violent as well as impossibly glamorous. But all the teenagers at my school were desperate to get their fake IDs, go Greyhound, which was a pub, or Townhouse.
Townhouse.
You're going Townhouse this Friday.
Five VKs for a tenner up Townhouse.
It was all that hooch and...
Two dogs.
Two dogs, mate. Yeah. I was going to say that.
What was the other ones? There was VK.
Smirnoff Ice.
Smirnoff Ice. Do you remember Metz?
Meth.
No, not meth. I'm not advocating for meth.
What a different time you had in the 90s.
Yeah.
Metz.
M-E-T-Z. I'm obsessed with anything with a changing an S to a Z.
Oh,
that is her.
Kids
bop.
I think I do remember something along those lines.
That was acid reflux in a bottle.
Those drinks were horrible. And do you remember the outrage at the time? They were like, it's encouraging children to drink. Young people will be into alcopops. And look at us. It's
what vaping's become, isn't it?
It's just basically vaping now, isn't it?
Getting on the blue razz. Allegedly. I've never been on it myself. But
are you somebody who pops the sticker on a litter bin?
No, because I'm a bit of a secret vapor. I don't want to vape, but unfortunately...
That's the thing with...
when
you
tropical
see that,
fruit...
I was going to say, you smell
my mouth.
That haze of blueberry sundown or whatever it's called.
Yeah, blue razz. Mm. And there's always an ice on it, isn't it? Blue razz ice. What's so ice about it?
Yeah, no, because it's not cold, is it?
No, not cold at all.
It's a steam, is that? It sounds like we're advertising it.
Don't smoke, kids.
Don't smoke, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But as well, there's a lot of crossover, of course, with... I say this with my fan in hand, with drag culture as well.
There is.
Which, and I guess, like, British drag, very much, you know, a different sister to the drag of, like, I would say ballroom scenes of New York, which feel like, again, they were quite epic, whereas our drag scene is slightly, different.
It's a bit more rough and ready, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit more pedestrian, let's call it.
That's a great word. Yeah. And I appreciate it for it.
Oh, I love it. Like, I was with Tia Coffey the other evening and we were caught in the rain after an event together. Mm. And
like a Donna Summer cake.
It was, yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, we were in Piccadilly. Mm. We were like, right, we need to take shelter because we couldn't... sounds like we're in some, like, we need to take shelter. And we were like, right, let's go to Halfway to Heaven, which is...
Oh, yes, just by Charing Cross.
Indeed.
My dad once went in there for a wee. Said what nice, friendly people they were.
Yeah, really? Did he shake hands with anyone?
We don't know. Never heard the full story. Yes.
Yeah, so we went in there, and Halfway to Heaven is like walking into British drag.
Yes.
That to me is British drag. I mean, there's all forms of drag are valid, and who am I to judge? Who are we? We're not. Are you a secret drag queen?
No, I wish.
Would you ever? What's your drag name if you had one?
Oh, well, I did do a thing for Attitude magazine with my friend Susie Ruffle.
Go on.
And I think I came up with the name Ashford International, and
that sounds
named after the famous Eurostar terminal.
Yeah.
But she was very much a Medway babe. It's supposed to unleash your inner fabulous. For me, it just unleashed a sort of a very kind of aggressive pub landlady.
Yeah. For me, it's slagginess.
Yeah. She was definitely a bit.
Yeah, I feel the need to slut drop if I was in drag.
I've not done it.
I'm quite a large person, so.
Gareth, please, there's lots of opportunities for you.
Listen, all drags are valid, but I think I'm going to go with a head injury anyway because I am 6'4".
Are you 6'4"?
Yeah, so I don't need a wig on top because it's going to be dangerous out there for
people.
It's going to be dangerous.
You'll be like one of those drones that closes Gatwick Airport.
Indeed. But much more fabulous.
My God, what is this? What is this being?
My drag persona that I've never performed as is Clammy Wynette.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great one for you. Yeah. Oh, that would you do country and western music?
No.
No, just no. The fun is in the name.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot.
Chalk, breathe, re-chalk.
Still aiming.
While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How did you start off with Hunsnet?
So I have been obsessed with like pop culture and particularly fabulous women.
Mm.
I think as gay people, we get to choose our pop stars, and usually they're fabulous women. Mm. Some of the best people in my life who've kind of pulled me out of the trenches sometimes have been fabulous rough and ready girlies, and I mean that in the best. They're gritty girls. I like northern women who can just get on with stuff and fuck this, let's go sort of people.
Yes, for sure.
I've always been sort of like a huge fan of that, and then the soaps and music and everything. And I started making memes when I was working in a corporate job that I hated.
Oh,
hated.
But many a creative seed.
I don't know.
What did you have to do?
I used to have to drive to Luton every day, which was really damaging for my self-esteem and look.
Why did you have to drive to Luton every day?
Because the head office was there.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was for a travel company. We'll leave the name out. And I wasn't sacked or anything. And it just wasn't me. And I was literally like making memes under my desk in Luton. And then sort of got a bit of a following. And I was like, I need to leave Luton. I was like, there's the bright lights, liquid envy of London. I need to get to.
Of course, I want to go to those nightclubs I've heard so much about.
So I got a job back in London at the beginning of the pandemic. I was living in London at the time. And 7 days into, you know, sort of pandemic, I just left my last job, started this new job, and then we went into lockdown. But because I'd not been at this job long enough, I didn't qualify for furlough. So I was like, shit. So I was like, oh, I built up this bit of a following online, and I was like, what's a girl to do? Let's do an online party. So we started doing online parties during COVID.
Oh, using House Party?
No, no. Where did House Party go?
What happened to that? Could have been the Zoom.
Data protection nightmare, though, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Just casually walking into people's lives. Yeah, House Party.
So we were doing like parties on Zooms, and I used to be a Pontins Bluecoat way, way back
Gareth.
In the day. No, exactly. Back in the day. And I was like, right, let's bring Pontins 2004 to the masses in the middle of COVID.
Well, wouldn't love it?
So we were doing bingo quizzes and stuff like that. And then after that, obviously when the lockdowns were in and out, we was like, let's all go and put an event on, and then started doing brunches and events.
Socially distanced. Yes, I remember.
Very feral, though. Feral.
You know, people needed to just be out.
Free.
Free within a 3 metre bubble. And, so that's really what kickstarted it. I didn't realise that. I mean, I feel like I was aware of it before then.
Yeah.
But maybe I was just following your memes.
Yes. And then during that, then obviously with any sort of online sort of thing, you know, there's an opportunity to take it into so many places. So, you know, I started making merchandise and obviously talking about the subject.
Yeah.
These are available on the website, $15.99.
Ooh. Great gift for anybody. What hen party would be without it?
Exactly. They'd look great in liquid and envy if they were still
there.
Oh,
my God. They would look lovely on a... Oh yeah, I think they would have them. Somebody on the door. Someone quite abrasive on the door.
You're not coming in, love.
On the coat check.
Exactly.
People who work on a coat check job.
So it's a special kind of person who can go through 9 hours of hearing music through a wall and checking in coats. To them.
I think I did it once, but I think I've lost the raffle tickets.
You weren't asked back.
And let me tell you, I was not asked back to that job. What was I for that? Oh, I remember, yeah. It was the millennium. Anyway, it was a new year. A bad new year for some people, but when they're pissed, they don't mind. Exactly. They don't mind a new coat.
Yeah. Sometimes... new year, new coat.
But I do think there's something, because I think I was going to say about camp culture, which, you know, I think Hunsnet is very much at the epicentre of. And I think there's something about it that does thrive in adversity, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like
yeah,
it does.
I think people, like, in times of trouble, you know, lockdown and everything like that, they wanted to hang on to the familiar. They wanted the warm and cosy, the fuzzy. They wanted that, you know. And from all of that, essentially, a community was sort of born and, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's always very celebratory, I think, as well. Like,
it's silly. You know,
because I've spoken to, I don't mind name dropping, Ruth Langsford. And
the Dame.
The Dame Ruth Langsford and Natalie Cassidy. And I've said to them, like, oh, you know, you're so celebrated in the Hunsnet sphere.
In the Hun Kingdom. In Hundum.
Hundum. Huntingdon.
In the Hunnosphere.
In the Hunnosphere, that's better. And they love it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I know. And they say this and they say that. I mean, Ruth seems to just absolutely adore it.
Well, do you know what I love about it is that back in the day, when this sort of first started kicking off largely, you had to kind of explain what it is. It's very difficult to explain, as I tried to earlier. And
did it perfectly.
Some people watching this, who I know you've got people who watch this in Australia, they're probably thinking,
of course.
Global.
It's a very global, visualised.
Global enterprise.
It's unstoppable.
They're probably thinking, what the hell is this? Who's Ruth Langsford?
Well, that's camp culture, isn't it?
Well, that's on them.
That's on them, you know. You're not camp enough to watch this. Essentially gardening podcast.
Indeed,
then, then maybe you're the problem. Yes.
So at the beginning, you know, we were making
memes. Explain it.
Yeah, we were making memes about Ruth Langsford, and then I think I don't want to speak on behalf of Ruth. Why would I ever?
Please, do not speak on.
I would imagine that they've now found new audience, or not found new audiences, realised that there's an audience there for them that they didn't have before.
I think it must be hugely exciting, and I think you know, because again, I wouldn't want to speak for Natalie Cassidy, but as a guest here, she was saying she's very grateful to, you know, in a proper old school showbiz way, like very grateful to anybody who engages with her work. And it is work. You know, there's not, like Ruth and Natalie, they are two of the hardest working people I know at showbiz.
Yeah. And I think for years, especially with social media, we were fed this Kardashian lifestyle, so to speak. And it was all, you've got to look amazing and everything's got to look...
Oh, my God, everyone's got a Brazilian butt lift.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I could do one now. And I think what Hun culture is that I don't want to see, like, picture perfect. I want to see somebody taking out the bins. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that... I mean, I know in America they do this to some extent too, But what I love about like camp culture, I suppose drag culture, particularly in the UK tradition, and in Australia and in Ireland, it's a bit more rough around the edges.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not that kind of like that kind of camp thing in America. It's very shiny.
Yeah.
It's very like huge, like everything's immaculate.
Yeah. I want to see particularly with like drag queens, I want to hear all like the Gemma Collins quotes, I want to hear the Doc Cotton quotes.
Yes.
I want to hear the Pat Butcher quotes.
Like you say, are all women who are strong women who've maybe come over some sort of adversity.
Yeah.
And yet triumphed.
I think if you go in a bit forensically on like why are people Huns and why are some people like celebrated so much in this way, I think there is you've just mentioned it there. A lot of the people back in the noughties were like obliterated by the tabloids, you know, for different things.
Yeah.
And what I love about it now, and I hope that everybody who is the features on pages like Hunsnet and Love of Huns and things like that, that we are literally there celebrating them. And you know,
yes.
Natalie Cassidy going to Boots and coming out with a Boots bag with a meal deal is iconic to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
but it's so normal.
And well, that's so true. That's like celebrating the normal.
Yeah.
Which I think is often the case in a lot of camp culture, isn't it? Like I always think that camp culture often takes high status things and treats them low status and does vice versa, treats the kind of humble things and exalts them. And I think there's something in that.
It's like, it's like that highbrow, taking something so highbrow and bringing it into, you know, confessional. So I'm a huge fan of Victoria Beckham, and I, you know, Victoria Beckham is famously says, you know, I've got a sense of humour. Which she absolutely has. But I've been shadow banned by Victoria Beckham because the question I wanted to ask Victoria Beckham was, what is your favourite pot noodle? And I kept asking it her and she never responded, and now I'm shadow banned.
In what context were you asking her?
Well, she was selling her lip liner her eyeliner, and I was like, oh, this is nice, Vic, but do you like a Bombay Bad Boy? And I think I've been shadow banned.
What? And so shadow banned, what does that mean? Like you've just been like quietly?
Yeah, like I'm allowed to comment, but everyone else can't see it. Because from my burner account, I can see that it can't. But that's what I'm saying. So that it's the perfect example of, you know, Victoria Beckham is this massive like icon in the Hun world, particularly because of her WAG era.
Yes.
And she does reference it in, you know, in the modern day. But if she turned around and said to me, hey, hun, my favourite pot noodle is chicken and mushroom. Boom.
Boom. And it would be huge for her, actually, to do that. I think, I guess because she has her fashion brand, she probably wants to.
Are you telling me that pot noodles aren't fashionable?
But I think...
Do you want to fall out?
No. But I think that documentary with her and David, that was all about them being actually a bit more normal.
We're so normal, aren't we?
Like they were...
Our Rolls Royce. Aren't we normal? Look at us being normal.
He likes gardening, doesn't he?
He does. He likes his bees.
He likes his bees. Or we couldn't have a beehive in here.
No.
Couldn't even...
You got stung by a bee, didn't you? One of the earlier episodes, you were talking about it.
Well, I got elbowed by a wasp. In that, I was on
it's
a...
It's not how it was presented in the episode, but let's carry on.
Was it? Oh, my brother stood on a bee.
Yes.
My brother stood on a bee. Yeah, and his foot swelled up like an elephant.
This is it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be careful out there.
Mad.
It's a dangerous world out there, Gareth, I'm telling you.
You've got to be careful.
You've got to be careful. Yeah. That's
a campaign.
There's a campaign waiting to happen. Put it on a... pop it on a fan. And I got stung on the elbow when I was ordering a drink on a sun lounger.
The thing is, you've got to ask yourself, is what did you do to contribute to that?
Well,
provoked it.
Well, I did. I stuck my elbow in its very being. nearly elbowed it to death, and it naturally responded. But it was a difficult holiday that time. It was in Austria. It was a nice place by a Schloss. Is that what it's called? A Schloss? A lake, anyway.
It was a puddle, wasn't it?
It was a puddle. It was it had global warming, and it was a pond, and it was a foot spa. Foot spa.
It was a lazy spa.
Was that the blue one?
Yeah, the blue one.
And now I'm in my 40s. Quite like one of those.
Could you have a hot tub here? Hot tub.
Hot tub is Hun's culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Because I do think with a hot tub, like, why would you want one?
I call them sex ponds.
I think they are too. They're overly sexualized.
They're mucky.
They are absolutely mucky, Gareth.
They are mucky.
Because why would you go around to someone's house and then be like, oh, do you fancy coming in the hot tub?
It's
either a precursor to sex
or
it's a precursor to sex. I can't think of another example.
I think there's like there's facial expressions.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and the other thing is you're supposed to go in there or have a drink in the hot tub. But you're in the hot tub up to like there.
Yeah.
So you've got to have the drink above like water level. So then you've got your drink up there.
Get a picture first, go on, get a picture. Go on, let's have a picture. Oh, aren't we mad?
We're mad, we are. And then like that's sort of like the epitome of a great day. But I just think you can't really get the drink in your mouth anyway because you're sort of trying to keep your glass out of your... So you can't even get pissed.
There's probably a viscous if the bubbles stop.
Oh, I bet there is, yeah. It's unpleasant when the bubbling stops.
It's mucky.
It's mucky, murky. Exactly. Very murky. When you just get that like... When it just suddenly stops in that piercing silence and then you get that kind of like drift.
I would hate to see what the pH balance was at the end of that.
I wouldn't like to think about that one bit.
Nope.
No way. Mm. And I have sometimes come out with a sort of a redness. Yes, I'll say it, a rash.
Oh, don't mind him, he's got the octo brush. We've been around Jill and Sheila's, Jim and Sheila's last week.
Because I think as well, like there's as much trouble as a swimming pool, but you just sit still.
Yeah. And they're so normalised.
So normalised. At no point. What's happened to our society?
You can go and get a hot tub, a lazy spa from B&Q. We could go now.
And get an inflatable one.
And get an inflatable one.
We could go and get one. I wish I'd got one now. But they are, it was sold to us. Like, it was like, you're nothing if you haven't got a hot tub.
Yeah. And do you know what? There's like statuses of it. Obviously, entry level is the lazy spa blow up one, you know. Mm. Then you've got...
They have them on the high shelves, don't they, in the garden centres. Yeah. That one up the top there, £2.50. Yeah, yeah. I want
Bank holiday special. down to 50 quid. Take it.
It's a bin bag. It's a bin bag with a fan in it.
Exactly. But then you've got like your entry level, you know, sort of permanent structures. But then they go big. Like, I've been to Costco and they sell hot tub, like big... things in big hot tubs in
those ones that are almost like a swimming pool
and then you know people just think we're doing a hot tub upgrade this year and then get a pergola
hot tub. God, I was gonna say about those or a lever arch parasol where you've got to crank it up and an L-shaped sofa rattan. That's your girl. Rattan as well is absolutely stupid because we find it. The squirrels, foxes come and scratch the shit out of it.
Exactly.
And then you just end up with this kind of spiky bullshit.
It's like rattan.
There's the rattan alarm. And that'll probably last for the rest of the episode now.
They've been speaking about rattan in number 26.
Enough is enough, Derek. Sound the alarm.
Next it'll be a PVC chair.
I love a PVC chair. Do you remember when those became a thing?
It's still a thing, aren't
those white PVC ones?
Yeah, sackable.
When we got those in the garden, I thought we'd arrive. It was like El Dorado.
Not many people know about El Dorado, I know you know about it.
Because I always go for a niche reference. They turned it off. I always like a niche reference. Sometimes people don't remember El Dorado.
It was on for about 9 weeks, wasn't it?
And it was billed. Do you remember it came out in the new year? It was like, it's the new EastEnders. We've spent all our budget on it. It's going to be massive.
Wasn't there there was one particular character in there. Where was it set? Spain. Or
Spain.
Was it Portugal? Was there a guy in like called Stelios and there was a woman and she would just go around and Stelios or something like that?
Thin characterisation. Yeah. But I just remember a man cannonballing into the pool.
It's just what goes on holiday.
I know, a lovely Spanish holiday. Exactly. Which I think, again, is often referenced on Hunsnet, the celebration of...
Holly Bobs,
of course.
Have you been on Holly Bob this year?
We went on Holly Bob to Spain, actually. Really? And actually, very Hunsnet of us. We popped into Benidorm.
Popped in.
We thought we might stay there. I was like, Alf, we watched the programme. We like the programme. It makes us laugh.
Oh, the actual hotel.
We thought we'll stay there. Well, it was. You could only book it if you stayed for 5 nights. We were like, we don't know if we want to go for 5 nights. We are glad we didn't book it for 5 nights. No, there's anything wrong with the hotel. Don't get me wrong. The place of Benidorm, in the epicentre of it, we lasted 2 hours.
Do you know what my obsession on TikTok is? There is a whole Benidorm tribute act scene.
Oh, which apparently a lot of them are amazing.
Yeah, but some of them aren't.
I like a mix.
It's all about the ups and downs. I'm obsessed with the whole concept of tribute artists anyway, just like from my Pontins days, because we always used to have like tribute acts and stuff.
Yes.
Benidorm has a huge tribute act scene.
Yes, of course.
We could be like Pitbull tribute act. You could do Benidorm. I could do Santulalia.
Yes. I'm going to Santulalia.
I don't know why that was the first place to come.
It's a very specific place.
Paphos was right there.
Santa Eulalia, isn't that in Ibiza?
Yeah,
we went there. Yeah. And it was a soul hotel in Santa Eulalia, right on the corner. It was lovely. I remember my mum took the very best of Elton John tape and we listened to it of an evening on the balcony. But
it is missing a Pitbull tribute. So.
And they've now changed it into like a trendy like beach house hotel or something.
It's very wellnessy, isn't it? Now?
Very wellnessy, all of that bullshit. Yeah. But I did love Benidorm was quite on the nose in its ironicness. Like T-shirts, you go into the tourist shops and they'll have like, you know, the bottle openers that look like a knob. I get it. Yeah. But then you've got the T-shirts that are like, just suck my dick. Yeah. It's like, it's not that funny. It's just really like...
I got fucked in Benidorm.
I mean, they are literally bright pink. But when are you going to wear it?
There's a lot of neon.
And it's neon pink, neon purple.
Yeah. Unsolicited neon.
My eyes, my retinas.
That's so funny. Yeah. With a cowboy hat on top.
Yeah. Now you brought the subject of cowboy hats.
It was inevitable.
I don't like them. I don't mind official cowboy hats. Mm. What?
We do have a lot of cowboy listeners. There we go.
Yeah. No, I think cowboy hats, particularly at concerts, they're very Hun.
Very Hun, a pink one, yeah.
Oh, we're going to Snaps. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm not here to judge. It's just not for me.
No, for sure.
If ever I'm introduced to somebody and they're wearing a temporary cowboy hat, which is what I would call them.
An incidental cowboy hat.
Yeah, like something in felt. I would be like... I'm immediately on the back foot.
I know exactly what you mean. It is just slightly overexcitable. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I don't want to judge, and I don't want anyone to
Gareth,
be like...
you say that.
But I am.
And we're not apologising for it.
No, I fucking hate cowboy hats.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Say
I'm going to fucking hang my cowboy hat on it.
Hang it, nail your cowboy hat to the mast.
Come at me.
Absolutely, you know.
Don't come at me.
Please, we're gays. We're very gentle people. we don't like violence. we will be slightly spiky in our personalities, and that's okay.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What do you think about singing along in theatres? Because you know that's been quite a controversial issue. I imagine it affects quite a lot of Hunsnet.
Yeah. The problem that I have with it is I see it from both sides. ABBA... particularly.
Begs for it.
You've got your Voyages, you've got your Mamma Mia the parties, you've got your Mamma Mia the movies, you've got your Mamma Mia's in the theatre, you've got your ABBA Golds, you've got your all this. Mm. People love ABBA.
They fucking do, don't they?
And I think if you are going to be inviting this fan base who are not, you know, theatrically audience trained, then you've got to expect a bit of singing.
Yeah, that's true. You've invited people in.
You can't say to people, you can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life, and say, no, you can't do any of that.
I didn't mean it.
Not here, you can't.
You're so right.
Take it up with Benny and Beyond.
Take it up with, they wrote it. They meant it to themselves. Yeah. They weren't talking to you.
They were being ironic. It's Swedish.
They didn't know what they were saying. Oh, that's so true. Yeah. You're right, Gareth. Because I was always perturbed at the reports of the Dolly Parton musical, where there was a same-sex couple, two men got together in it, and somebody, I'm not laughing at it, but somebody, a man stormed out and said, I didn't pay money to come and see this, in a homophobic way. And I just thought to myself, what straight man is paying money to go to the Dolly Parton musical and being like,
can't a straight bloke sit through a Dolly Parton musical without being bombarded with this homosexual subtext?
In three-part harmony.
In three-part harmony. With that lovely instrument that Dolly sometimes plays. You know, the upright sort of one that's
a
like
ukulele.
A guitar.
It's
like
a ukulele.
One of those things. And I thought, there's a lot of controversy in theatre, isn't there? People get worked up about things.
I think you've got to know where you're going to. I mean, if it's a jukebox
musical. Yeah, yeah, it's different.
If it's a jukebox musical, then yeah. I mean, like, you've seen Titanic, yeah?
Several times.
Yeah. Mm, you're the understudy. I'm Rose.
I'm the
third cover.
I would love that.
The songs of Celine Dion presented in this way, it encourages you to sing.
Oh.
Although I've seen it three times, and the last time I went, there's no interval in it. Plot twist, surprise.
Well, you can't trust this case. Well,
I also can't trust my bladder for 90
exactly,
minutes.
Exactly, exactly.
I was watching Titanic, and there's no interval. And as a pisser myself, 90 minutes is a long time for me to hold it in. Mm. And I was caught short. And I was sat three seats in from the end, and there was two American guys. They could be from anywhere. It doesn't need to be American.
No,
but they were American.
They were.
And I was like, I waited, because I'd seen the show before, I waited to the end of the big number. People clap, and I thought, right, I'm going to dart out. So I darted out, waited at the back, lurking at the back, and then I waited for the end of the next bit to just dart back
very
in.
Very noble.
And the guy went, I hope you're happy with yourself. You ruined this to me. And I was like...
What?
I was like... Hold my ice cream.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So they sort of made, you know, during a bit of applause, I was like, what do you want me to do? Piss on you? I mean, it would be immersive, wouldn't it? With the Titanic. I'll never let go, Jack. You're here. This
Oh, like front row singing in the rain. I mean, it's, that's terrible. So did you have a bit of a tete-a-tete? I don't know, what's it called?
There was some choice looks and
gays, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Gareth, I'm sorry.
No.
I know that's a shame.
I'll
isn't
never
it?
Piss again.
Never piss again. Could be a song in Titanic, actually. Yeah, but you're very mindful, very thoughtful. You're a very thoughtful person.
Indeed, yeah.
Very thoughtful pisser. Well, what a shame. It's terrible, isn't it, when gay on gay crime. Gay on gay crime like that. That is very much...
We should be looking after ourselves.
Oh, I know. To be having a go at a pissing gay in the middle of Titanic is basically a hate crime.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was going to say... Oh, yeah, but Lauren Drew, when I saw it, it was fabulous.
Oh,
she
said
she's
Welsh.
Come back. I think she's Welsh.
Yeah.
is that one of your catchphrases?
Yeah, she's Welsh.
She's Welsh.
I think she is, anyway.
Are you from Wales?
Yeah, I'm from Wales.
Are you? I was going to say, where did you grow up? I couldn't place your... What's your accent?
Yeah, from Wales.
North Wales?
South Wales. The valleys, one. hence the proffy woman.
The valleys. Yeah. Are you from... where was the favourite place I went to on tour? And I've forgotten it. That's bad. Treorchy.
I know Treorchy.
I love Treorchy.
Very rugby clubby.
Well, of course I fit right
but
in.
But there's a lot of female darts players in Treorchy, aren't there?
Well, probably.
Other sports are available.
Now, I just like being on that lovely stage there because you know it's built for a male voice choir.
Well, this is it.
Mm, you know Harry Seacombe would have loved it.
I bet they love pissing in the audience at Treorchy.
I bet they love a bit of pissing.
I grew up in Pontypool and then... I remember growing up in the valleys and looking around, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I remember looking around and being like, there must be more than this provincial life. That's why I'm going to make Belle my wife.
Then you left. Yeah.
And moved in with a teacup.
I wonder why you lived in that cupboard for so long. Mrs. Potts always made me cry, especially when it was Angela Lansbury. Yeah. Oh, come on, Chip. then you left poor old Pontypool.
Yeah, for 16. And
16, Gareth, that's young.
Yeah, I know. Just the world was my oyster.
Absolutely. I mean, as I say, I like Treorchy. I would be tempted to move back, but...
I mean, it's not for me. I mean, it's...
What's it like for gays there?
Broad question. I mean...
very broad question.
I've not been gay there for a number of years. when I go back, I'm not gay.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, do you think it's the mining?
Yeah, it is. It's the fumes. it's the male voice choirs, actually. I don't think it's very good for gays.
I never know if there's like a secret... Because that's the sort of... thing I find with a lot of gay culture is there's a sense of like, oh, you just didn't find where the gays were. Like, a lot of gays will like to be like, oh, I always get hit on when I go to that brackets, predominantly straight plays.
All by one.
All by one. When I go to all by one, all the straights always. Have you met gays like that? Who are like, all the straight guys seem to fancy me. It's a real sort of like power play that some gays try and pull, and I've never taken to it.
I think it's because we don't have codes. Like, do you remember they used to have the hanky code back in the day? Not that was like, I think that was before our time, back in the 80s. Yes.
But yes, hanky code.
What would be the hanky code for today's day and age? Oh, a laboo-boo. I bet you.
What colour was the laboo-boo? Gosh, I didn't know you were into that. Or an iPhone case at best. But now it'd be, people are much more explicit, aren't they? They would just have like fisting written across the back
or
of
like it. Or like a hole pick on their t-shirt.
Oh yes, they just don't worry now. People are impatient.
It's just best to just put it out there, isn't
romance
it?
Romance is gone, Gareth. Romance is dead, I tell you.
Romance is out, hole picks are in.
Absolutely. What a world it is. Do you think it is? Do you think there are any gays in the valleys? I'm sure there must be.
I'm sure there are, yeah. But I think that a lot of. I know a lot of people who were. Right. I know a lot of people. I know everyone.
A lot of people.
I know a lot of people who grew up in that thing. They wanted the bright lights of Liquid Envy.
Yes, and of course. And where would people go? Would they go to Cardiff?
Well, Cardiff was
Bristol.
Cardiff was the place. Bristol was the place to go back in the day. Mm. There used to be a club in Cardiff called Club X.
Ooh. Sounds fun.
X can stand for whatever you want it to. there was, what else was there? There was Golden Cross. I think that's still there.
Gosh.
But what I like about Drag Race now is that you start to see like, these small scenes around the thing, they're bringing people in from these sorts of things. So
that is lovely as well, isn't it? And I think the idea of like a local gay community is really important because, I mean, Bromley, not far from London, but there was nothing. I grew up thinking like, there's nothing. There's no one. I'm the only gay in the village.
Hanging around BHS, open for a scene.
Just ended up talking to my mum's friends, which in a way was a
character
gay,
building.
It was character building and a gay scene of its own. It would be remiss of me to let you go, Gareth. Without asking about your experience of gardening. Now, I know you're a flipper. You've been flipping a house. You've been doing an upper house, I should say. Have you got a garden there?
We have got quite a large garden, actually.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And we were in a flat before, and we had like a nice little corner, and we decked it, and it was all very good. You could have nice pictures if you zoomed in and didn't look at the wider thing. We've now got a large garden, and the idea is to kind of have the Instagram thing. There's a fabulous account called Hitchcock House, which has got an amazing garden. You should check them out.
The Hitchcock.
And here they are. And they've got a lovely garden, and that's the sort of dream. We're not copying, but that's the dream.
So Hitchcock
House. Check it out. They've got a lovely garden. Checkerboard patio.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. I've always fancied a checkerboard patio. Yeah. Do they play chess?
Drafts.
It's easy to just jump on top of each other,
Exactly, yeah, you can do it with plates.
That must be true, you could do it.
You could,
Didn't think of that. I mean, that sort of inspiration, that's what the internet's good at, I think. Because I often get stressed with things online and people shouting at each other online. And I just, mainly now, I just follow interiors and gardens.
Yeah.
And it's stressful in its own way, though, because you can be overwhelmed with inspiration.
You can, and it's like, you see all these ideas, and I'm not really a manual labour kind of person. So I've got all the ideas, but none of the way to do it. So.
All the gear, no idea.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or the other way around, no idea, all the gear.
Or just no idea.
Just no idea.
So we've got all these ideas and mood boards and things, and then it'll just be a case of just doing it. But the garden is very much a next year thing. But I kind of get obsessed with stuff. So when I'm in garden mode, it'll happen very quickly because I'll be in the thick of it.
Because otherwise you do get distracted. I mean, not you, but anybody does. And I think as well, unless you know people, some people seem to know how to do things. Have you noticed? There's like a little secret world of like, oh, well, do you not realise you've got to do this?
Oh, just do this and you yank that.
And then it's all great. And I've never known about things like that. I mean, I just, shove things in plant pots and hope for the best. Story of my life.
Listen, I just want to get to a point where I can have a nice smooth ground so I can have a nice blow-up lazy spa.
I mean, wouldn't that be the dream, Gareth? Dream. Oh, I would love to come around and see that.
In this garden here, would you have, if you were going to have your lazy spa, would it be like down here? Like, would you have like an area for it? That's would you have it close by so you could be close to the fridge?
So you can. So it could be near the chip fryer.
Yeah. Microchips. Microchips in the lazy spa.
Microchips. What a lovely remembrance. Yeah. At first I was like, oh, it's got to be down here. But actually, no, you're right. Keep it close to the house. Yeah. Then you do that little run.
Keep your friends close and your lazy sparks close.
And in this garden, we can do both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely, Gareth. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I wish you the best with your lazy spa. Maybe like an air fryer or something like that.
Maybe a lazy spa with a built-in air fryer.
Now, there you're talking.
Because then the air that expels could blow up.
Heat the... Yeah. Oh, that would be...
Get
vent.
It on Dragon's Den.
Get Deborah Meaden will be all over that.
Hi, Dragons. I'm here to pitch for £250,000 for my brand new business, the Air Fryer Lazy Spa.
Stephen Bartlett would love it.
Oh, he would. Stephen Bartlett seems like a secret lazy sparer.
I reckon he's got several. I reckon they probably get a new one every year.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Keeping up with the Bartletts.
Keeping up with the Bartlett now. I'm going to start talking about air fryers, but it doesn't seem necessary.
Air fryers are hun.
Air fryers are so hun.
Are you an air fryer?
No. Are you?
Gotcha. Double drawer. The lot.
Are you double drawers? Yeah. Double drawers, Gareth.
And he dropped his double drawers. I'm actually eyeing up a third.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. What, a third separate unit?
Yeah, well, yeah, we had, so...
Would you have them in a circle? I just imagine putting them in a circle. Just like a, you know, like an organist in one of those, like in Blackpool.
Like whack-a-mole.
Oh, yes, that's nice, yes.
So the first air fryer that we got, we got, and it was just a one drawer.
Yes, single.
Yeah, and you can't, that's, you need two drawers. Mm. Then we got the Ninja one with two drawers, but then they did the Ninja with the one on top of each other.
And it's an absolute chest of drawers, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And every time, sorry.
And every time I'm in Curry's, it's eyeing me up, it's luring me in.
Oh.
So if Ninja are here at the moment or listening to this podcast, please send me one.
Put it out there to the universe.
Indeed.
If anyone needs one, it's you. What would you put in your third drawer if that's not a personal question?
Oh, it's not a third drawer. It's just the current one is the drawers are side by side. Yeah. So it takes up a lot of like surface area on your counter. This one is on top of each other.
I see a multi-stack.
Yeah.
Oh,
stack
lovely.
Drawers.
Because I'm snack drawers. Snack drawers would be a great move. If you were to bring out your own air fryer.
Hey, Dragons. I'm pitching for a £250,000 investment for a 2% stake in...
Deborah Meaden. I think...
Is it sustainable?
Is it sustainable? My client base will be asking, where's my...
Let me finish.
That warehouse apartment they all live in. Oh, no. It's like the Teletubbies, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that lift works, though.
I've got a feeling it's not real.
No.
Yeah, why not just put it on the ground floor?
Exactly.
There must be one available by now. I sometimes think maybe it's a mechanics.
Maybe it's like a vetting system. They put them in there, they think they're going up, but they've got all the cameras in.
And then you find out what they're actually like. Yeah, if they're scratching areas there.
I think we've cracked Dragon's Den here.
Oh my goodness. Is it still Evan Thingy, Evan Davis?
No, it's Peter Jones, Stephen Bartlett, Deborah Meaden, Sarah Davies, and Toke Suleiman, which I like saying in Sarah's accent.
Toke
Suleiman.
That's lovely.
I watch a lot of Dragon's Den.
I was going to say, you're quite an ardent fan.
They've actually, they messaged me and was like, can we...
Can you please stop?
Victoria Beckham's been in touch. No, they messaged me and was like, do you want to present Hunsnet on there as a business? And I was like, I don't want to go into business. I don't want to explain Hun culture to Deborah Meaden.
Oh, no, just won't get being it. Like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what this is. I just think there's no...
Deborah, have a Prosecco and
have a Prosecco
up.
And chill the fuck out. Give me a £250,000. Well, I wish you... Oh, parakeets. Thank you. Gareth, well, I wish you all the very best with your new garden and your new house, and more importantly, for all of us, the ongoing success of Hunsnet, which, you know, I'm a long-term fan of, and I owe you a great deal because, well, after the pandemic, Alfie and I, our first date was at a Huns brunch.
It was, and my brother was there on that date, and my brother...
And I nearly got off with him.
No. You're married to him, you got married.
How drunk was it?
And my brother will be talking about the time that he met TV's Tom Allen for the rest of his life,
bless
I reckon.
Him for saying that. Well,
we'll talk about it.
Now YouTube's Tom Allen. all media platforms are welcome.
British TikToker Tom British Allen.
Blue sky. Verified.
QVC-er, Tom Allen.
I'd love to be a QVC-er. There's money in there.
I would love to be QVC.
There's gold in those hills. You could be great on QVC. Why haven't you done it?
I'm waiting for the call from Ruth.
She would love you to do it with her.
I would. That would be my dream.
Gareth, put it out there. Yeah. Put it out there. It's an idea.
Let's manifest.
Hen party classics.
Exactly.
You could sell a load of things, mainly fans.
Exactly.
Fans, air fryers.
Lazy spa air fryers. Lazy spas.
You've got it made. Hun, just do it.
Just a business mogul.
You're an absolute business mogul. Move a bunch up, Stephen Bartlett. I'd be a Hun's Net billionaire.
This is it.
Oh.
A entrepreneur. And on that note.
On that note, we can't go any better. Well, Gareth, thanks for everything. Thanks for pottering with me today. I'll be back next week with another lovely guest. Until then, why not click subscribe on my YouTube channel? It's at Tom Allen. Or follow the show on your podcast app so you're always up to date. And if you can leave a little review, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, it really helps other people find the show. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Bye for now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk, still aiming.
While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.